Fanning the flames of liberal fear, I'm Steve Gerber. God bless America. Thank you for being here. It is Monday, the 22nd of February, 2021, and I really appreciate your support. Three big things to talk about today to get rolling. Number three, President Trump is planning to break his silence in a big way this coming weekend. After much speculation, it has been learned that Trump will, in fact, headline the 2021 CPAC gathering this year in Florida. We'll talk about it. Number two, the U.S. Navy could be sunk along with other military branches by the woke leftists who have offered an oath that defies logic, intelligence, and, frankly, common sense. You're not going to believe what the recruits are required to say now. And number one, what goes through your head when you look out the window of your plane and you see the engine has exploded on the wing? You're on a nonstop flight to Hawaii. Wow. What an experience for those on flight 328 over the weekend. Took off from Denver. A nonstop flight to Honolulu, Hawaii, but the engine outside the window of the Pratt & Whitney 4000 exploded. Those on the plane thought it was all over. Can you imagine? I fly quite a bit. I'm going to fly later this week. Looking out the window and watching chunks of the giant engine disintegrate. By the way, it was raining down on northern Colorado beneath. Fortunately, nobody was killed by the falling debris. And the plane miraculously made it back to the airport. But I want you to hear what the captain had to say, because he was suddenly having a very bad day. Listen in. Bite one. Go.
28, heavy, we experienced an engine failure. Need a turn. Mayday, mayday, United, 28. United 328, heavy, mayday, mayday, aircraft.
328 heavy, say again,
please,
can you call that again?
Denver departure, United 328 heavy, mayday aircraft, just experienced a engine failure, need a turn immediately.
Yeah, 328 heavy, left or right turn?
Left turn.
Yeah, 328 turn left, heading 080.
Catastrophic
failure.
Catastrophic failure of the right engine. A Pratt & Whitney 4000, these are time-tested engines. The FAA now wants every one of these 777 Boeings examined. They want to know what went wrong. They want to know how this could happen. Now, thankfully, the pilot, professional, got that plane back on the ground. People inside thought it was over. When it initially happened, I thought we were done. I thought we were going to go down, said David DeLuca. Well, Dave, lucky for you, it didn't go down. Meanwhile, on the ground, the plane was visible from the ground when it exploded. And some folks, of course, naturally grabbed their cell phones and began rolling tape. Listen to bite number two. Go here now.
No, it's something blew up. You see that? There's like a little black cloud of smoke right there.
And you can see the whole thing. You can see the big black burst of smoke. And then the debris rained down. It rained down into a small community in northern Colorado. Fortunately, nobody was killed there. The small town is, I had it written down here because I wanted to share it with you, of course. Broomfield, Colorado, hit with this debris, including the front ring of that Pratt & Whitney 4000. So more trouble for Boeing. Of course, they had all of their trouble with the 737 MAX, and now it's time for trouble with the 777. Hopefully, this is an incident that is not systemic. Boeing is, of course, an incredible American company. We wish them the best. We also want to make sure that these engines and everything are put together properly and hope that this is a once-in-a-lifetime incident. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I can tell you this. Ivy would not be too impressed looking out the window and seeing that happen. And a lot of people feel that way. They're a little bit sketchy about flying anyway, right? A little bit sketchy about flying anyway. Then you look out the window and you see your engine just in pieces and chunks flying. You know, that'll give you a pause. That'll give you a moment to talk to God directly on the red phone. Hey, let's get together for a moment. You and me, God. We've got a plane here. We've got a situation. I want to talk to you about it. It's called thrust and lift, and we want to talk about math for a moment, God. Just you and me. Just a little bit of math. Carry the one. Yeah, that'll give you some pause, won't it? Meanwhile, speaking of science, let's shift gears now. Everybody on that flight, by the way, no injuries on the ground. No injuries on the plane itself. Nobody. And they were all offered brand new flights to Honolulu. Would you have gotten on the plane? If you had just witnessed the engine explode outside your window, would you get on the plane? I think I would have. I would think that, you know, God, we got this. We're doing well today. Boom, we're out of here. But I don't know. One of our listeners says if God wanted us to fly, we'd have hollow bones and a jetpack or something like that. I might be paraphrasing just a wee bit. At any rate. Dr. Anthony Fauci refuses to admit that the vaccinations at this point are fairly meaningless. What do I mean by that? Well, Dr. Fauci's now refusing to say, hey, listen, if we get the vaccines done and we get all of these folks vaccinated, everybody's taken care of, won't that mean we can go back to normal? Won't that mean we can get the masks off our face and the kids back in class and the stores opened? What do I mean, all of that? Apparently not. Let's go to bite number four with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the smartest man in the world. Here he is.
So there is some confusion about what that actually means for a person's lifestyle after they are vaccinated. I'll give you an example. My parents have already gotten their second dose. They're fully vaccinated. Does that mean it's okay for them to spend time with their grandchildren who obviously have not been vaccinated? What's your recommendation?
You know, I'm not going to make a recommendation now except to say that these are things that we really do. I mean, literally every day, Dano. We look at that. We look at the data. We look at what's evolving about how many people are getting vaccinated. And there will be recommendations coming out. I don't want to be making a recommendation now on public TV. We want to sit down with the team, take a look at that. And you will be seeing relaxation of some of the stringencies as more and more people get vaccinated. Well, I promise you that, but I don't want to really do it right now.
I don't want to say anything here, of course. This is the same guy that a couple of years ago told you that lockdowns and quarantines are fairly useless. A guy that told you at the front end of the pandemic, don't wear masks if you're healthy, that doesn't make any sense. Who now says double masking is important, lockdowns are critical. A guy who said we wouldn't get a vaccine even possible for a year and a half or more, now says that vaccines are the key. Or are they? Maybe they're not. You see, I thought herd immunity was when enough people had been exposed, plus you a couple vaccines in there, and then you've got 70% of the population has been exposed to the virus, and therefore we begin moving at full speed again. But Dr. Anthony Fauci won't say that. You know why? Because they don't have any idea. The virus does what the virus does. Lockdowns didn't work. Masks have been relatively ineffective, quite obviously, because they've been mandated all over the country. And what did that do? Not much. Florida's open. It's doing fine. Other states locked down, not doing as well. We'll be back with more of that after this on the Steve Greer Show. It's Monday. Good to have you.
Governor Whitmer wants Line 5 shut down, with no plan to replace the essential energy it delivers. That means a shortage of millions of gallons of fuel every day. It's vital energy that heats homes, fuels transportation, and drives our industries. If Line 5 shuts down, struggling Michigan families and small businesses will face higher energy costs. If Line 5 shuts down, then what? Take action at Enbridge.com/supportline5.
Recently, I spent time with a group of young people who were hearing impaired and deaf. This is Johnny Erickson Tata, and I'd like to pass on some tips on how you can reach out to people who are deaf. First, talk directly to the deaf person and not to the sign language interpreter. Second, if the deaf person speaks and you don't understand, don't pretend that you know what he said. Instead, ask him to repeat his statement or write it down. Third, be careful not to cover your face. Many deaf friends rely partially on lip reading in order to understand what you're saying. Also, don't talk too fast. Be patient, even if it takes a while to converse. And lastly, don't yell. Sometimes people even yell at those of us in wheelchairs, and that can be embarrassing. But most importantly, don't back away. Don't be shy. These are just some deaf etiquette tips for you, and there's more at disabilitycampaign.org.
Hydration isn't a sometimes thing, it's an all-the-time thing. Good hydration is proven to improve performance and prevent cramping. Good hydration starts when you get up in the morning and lasts all day. Develop a plan for good hydration all day long and up your game. Visit the MHSAA website and click on Education for more information. A public service message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.